Scripture reading tonight is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Mark 10, 13 through 17. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?"
The question we're going to be discussing tonight is about the cost of the kingdom. Mark chapter 10 and Matthew 19 and 20 are a couple of interesting passages. They parallel each other. But they're interesting in the aspect that often when we're studying them, we take them individually. And we look at each of these small sections, the one about the children coming to Jesus, the one right before that about the question of marriage and who can be married, and the ones that we're going to look at later on. But we take all of these, including the parable in Matthew chapter 20 about the landowner who went out early to hire laborers in his vineyard. We take these often separately and look at them. Tonight I'd like for us to consider the context of all of them, for I think that when we look at them as a whole, we see another picture that starts to emerge as well about who it is that will inherit the kingdom. And this is an interesting one when we consider the context of what was just read for us in Mark chapter 10, when he was talking about those of the children that were being brought to him. It wasn't very frequent that the children would be given a place of prominence before a great teacher. They were more pushed to the side. They were expected to be seen, not seen, and not heard, but off to the side in that culture. And it was important for the teacher to be able to spend their time teaching and not to mess with the children. But here Jesus is rebuking his disciples who were pushing the children away and saying, "Let the children come unto me." And he says in that instance, "For such as the kingdom of heaven is as such as these." Right before that, in Mark chapter 10, verse 1 beginning, there's the question that's being asked about marriage and who it is that can marry, and questions about divorce as well. And it's interesting the response that Jesus gives, but his disciples' response to that at the afterwards is also interesting. In Matthew chapter 19, we get a little bit more of information about their response. In Matthew 19 and verse 10, his disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." So after hearing Jesus' instruction on marriage, they say this is a hard thing to bear. It's very difficult. And if that's the case, it's very difficult to abide by these things. And Jesus' response to that says in verse 10, Matthew 19, verse 11, he says, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given." And then he goes on to talk about various types of eunuchs. And the last one in particular, he says, "And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake." Eunuch is one who will never be married. They don't have the ability to bear a child. And in this instance, in the last case, he says, there are those who make themselves eunuchs, those who forego marriage for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Again, he is saying this is a difficult thing, and who can accept it? But he says that there are those who would do so for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Then as we just talked about, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. It's difficult. And here are those who were being pushed away by the disciples saying that they did not warrant Jesus' time while he was there teaching. The disciples were pushing the children away. And yet Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. He sees great need for us to emulate the children in our service to him and in our discipleship. And continuing on in that, in Mark chapter 10, in verse 17 beginning, we have the story of a rich young ruler who came up before Jesus as he was about to depart from that area after this interaction with the children and after the question of marriage. He comes up to him and he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who had owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were even more astonished and said to him, Then who can be saved? Again, this is when you look at different times in Jewish history, it was apparent even in today's society that people look at those who are rich and wealthy in this life and say they are well blessed of God. God must be very accepting and favorable towards this person because of their great wealth. When you look at the Old Testament examples, God had promised time and again that when they were obedient to Him, He would bless the people. They would have no need. But yet when they were disobedient to Him and departed from Him, famines and great distresses would come upon the land. That pervaded their thinking even to this time. And the disciples said, Well, even somebody that is as favored as this rich person will have a difficult time entering the kingdom. Then who can enter the kingdom of God? And who can be saved? And that's what I'd like for us to consider for the last couple of minutes as well. Jesus has tied these two thoughts together. Who can enter the kingdom? Those attributes of those who would be entering into the kingdom. And then those who can be saved. They're coming one in the same question. And it's interesting, Jesus has said, the way is difficult. In other places he had said, the way is narrow, and few there are that go in by it. But the way that leads into destruction is wide and broad, and many go in through that way. And here in Matthew chapter 19 and 20, we see that there are many who find that the way to the kingdom is very difficult, and such it is. But I'd like for us also to consider the disciples' response after this rich young man had been rebuked and went away sorrowfully. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and then at the end of that, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, Peter began to say to him, Behold, we have left everything and followed you. And it's interesting that Matthew adds in Matthew 19 and verse 27, at the end of that, he says, Therefore, what shall we have? Peter follows up with that following statement, We have left everything to follow after you, as this rich young man was unwilling to sell everything to follow after you. Peter says, Look at me and the rest of the disciples. We have left everything. What shall we have? And then Jesus follows up in that same context in Matthew chapter 20 with another parable. And continuing on, or right before that, he says to that last question in Matthew 19 and 28, Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging all the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Then he gives the parable in Matthew chapter 20, describing about the landowner who went out to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. And those that had started at the beginning of the day, at the first calling, went in to work. And then those every hour he went and called more and more, until the very last hour there are still some who had waited until the 11th hour, still not working. And the owner calls them in and says, Go work for this hour as well. And then he goes and continues to pay all of those for their work. And each and every single one of them, no matter when they started their work, received the same wages at the end of the day. Those who had started earlier began to grumble because they thought that they deserved more for their greater labors in the vineyard of that day. And the owner says to them, when they complained against them, he says, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. In Matthew 20 and verse 13, Do you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. And he continues on in that aspect by saying that the reward is the same, and that all of us are to be able to be willing to go in to do the work. But when we look at these different parables and to these different lessons, we see that there are many who find the way very difficult. And there are many who are not willing to pay the cost to enter into the kingdom, to pay the cost to being a Christian. And when we consider ourselves as well, we look about us and we're often questioned by our neighbors and by our friends and acquaintances in the world why we do certain things and why we refuse to do certain things. It's very irregular for many to come to church on a Sunday, let alone come to church twice on a Sunday. What's the purpose of gathering together with everybody for more than one occasion? What's the purpose for that? They think it very odd that we would do such a thing. And we refrain from doing sinful activities in the world around us because God has told us we should not be doing that. They think it's strange. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, Peter lists various sins that the world engages in, such as revelries, drinking parties, and very lascivious lifestyles. And in verse 4, he says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So we pay a great price. People think us quite odd because we don't want to participate and do the same things that they do. But yet we see that those who would enter into the kingdom of God and those who would be Christians, those who would inherit eternal life, pay a great price. But we see that it is for a great reward. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus makes an analogy similar to this to describe the kingdom in various ways. But in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So this person, when he had found that great treasure, which was representative of the kingdom of heaven, he went and sold all that he had. He gave up all that he had in order to obtain it. In verse 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." It's of great value, and it can cost quite a bit in order to obtain the kingdom of heaven. And as Jesus pointed out, and his disciples pointed out for us in Mark chapter 10 and Matthew 19, there are various aspects of being a disciple that are very difficult to follow. And the cost is high, but the reward is the kingdom of heaven and eternal life. I'd like for us also to consider over in Hebrews chapter 11. We have an example. The Hebrew writer has just been writing about those who had been Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, those who had been faithful to God's calling to them with the things that he had required of them. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it's interesting to note as well, in verse 13 beginning, Hebrews 11 and verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Again, consider the way that these faithful people were described in verse 13 as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those who would be strangers and pilgrims, they don't store up great things on this earth. They've given up great wealth. They've given up great fame and fortune on this earth in order for something greater. In Abraham's case, he gave up his father's lands and he left his family behind, took his nephew and wife, and they went out on their own. God had blessed them for that later on. But he says that they did not even receive the promises that God had promised to them. And yet they continued on, because they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." And that's the same that we see among us as well. We have that same opportunity to return to the world. And we see many that do. They see the great promises that are laid before them, and yet aren't willing to pay the great price that's required in order to remain faithful, to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to inherit eternal life. And they find it very difficult, and they return to that country from which they had once come out. But in verse 16, "But now they, those that are faithful, desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." We see that that's the same promises laid out for us as well. Those who would be faithful, those are the ones who can inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are willing to pay the great price, those who, like the merchant seeking and finding that great pearl of great price, went and sold everything else to obtain that one great pearl. Those who are willing to, as Jesus put it, to be eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, if that's called upon them, they shall inherit the kingdom. It is a difficult thing, but that is promised to them. Those who are willing to sell those things that would stand in their way of their discipleship to Christ, right, like the rich young ruler was not willing to, but yet Peter and the rest of the apostles said they already had, those can enter into the kingdom. And then those who would remain faithful and obedient to him and not return to that country from which they had been called, those shall inherit the kingdom and the city that is prepared for them. So if you have the opportunity tonight as well, the invitation is yours. Would you be one of those who would inherit the kingdom of heaven? Or would we be those who would turn back? It's a very difficult life and very difficult to walk, and it requires a lot from us. But yet God has promised us a great reward for those who are willing to endure to the end. So if tonight we can be of assistance or encouragement to anyone on our path and our walk towards that kingdom that God has promised to us, and we would love to pray on your behalf and encourage you in any way. Perhaps there are those who would like to start on their walk with God by being baptized with Him to have their sins forgiven. If any of these apply to you tonight, then let your needs be known while together we stand and sing.